Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you've heard read, the story of the 10 lepers, and the theme this morning, worship Jesus with great thanksgiving. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Two words that we should hear more often than not. I hear these words often, and I hear them in times when I should be hearing them. For instance, just a couple of days ago, I held a door open for a young lady, and she just zips right by me. No thank you, no hi, no nothing, head down, and just zips right into the store. That's okay. I understand. Some people aren't grateful. Some people are in their own little world and they want to do their thing. I get it. Thank you. Thank you. Very simple words, but how precious they are. Some have even said that the words thank you are more precious than a fistful of dollars. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Surely, though, as we look at our text this morning, and as we consider the gift that you're about to receive, the blessed feast of the Lamb, do you consider saying thank you to Jesus more often than not? Have you ever considered the great generosity of your Lord, that His generosity surpasses even our most wildest understanding? When we begin to understand how generous, how gracious, how merciful, how forgiving our Lord is, may we always be moved to sincere thanksgiving, to say thank you, Jesus, and to say thank you from the heart. So, my dear brothers and sisters, today we say thank you as we consider a text that you're all very familiar with. This is the classic text for Thanksgiving, the story of the 10 lepers and the one leper who was grateful. But before we get there, let's talk briefly about our text. We see that in our text, God is merciful. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could have ignored the 10 lepers, but He did not. Our text tells us that Jesus was traveling. Actually, He had just been transfigured. He was traveling through Galilee and now coming into the area of Samaria on His way to Jericho and ultimately on His way to Jerusalem and the cross. So as our text says, through, between Samaria and Galilee. Now this is important for us, for you see that a Jew would never come near Samaria. Samaria in the military for us, for those of us in the military, we understand this. Samaria was off limits. A good Jew would never ever travel through Samaria. Yet here we find Jesus traveling very next to the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was doing this for a purpose, by the way, for our Lord knew that there were 10 men that He must meet. And there were 10 men that He must show His mercy to. And that one of those men would come back and praise Him. And Jesus would use that man as an example for all eternity. So He was met by 10 lepers. They stood at a distance and they lifted up their voices. And what did they cry out? Eleison, Eleison, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. Sound familiar? And actually the word that they use, this word for mercy, literally means Jesus, Master, do an act of mercy for us. Do an act of mercy. Dear ones, we cry out the very same way. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't ignore us as He did not ignore these 10. Today the Lord will have mercy on you. He will do an act of mercy for each of you, as you receive body and as you drink His blood. Therefore, God gives us all His gifts, putting no condition on them whatsoever. Notice Jesus only told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. That was the requirement. That was the requirement for a leper. You see, these lepers were following the Mosaic law, and Jesus was too. We must always remember, dear ones, that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to overturn the law. The law tells us that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let his hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And finally, by the time of Jesus, lepers finally they discovered that if they lived together in a colony, they could actually survive a little bit longer. And this is what we see here. And one of these 10, with the other 9 Jews, was a Samaritan. A Samaritan living with Jews, that was unheard of. But these men had something in common. They were unclean. So our text tells us Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they were leaving, suddenly they realized they were cleansed. The leprosy had left them. They were fully healed. Their faith in the words of Jesus had brought healing to them. It wasn't their faith that healed them. It was their faith in the words of Jesus that healed them. It was Jesus saying, go and show. And in those words, go and show, they were healed. Then one of them, as our text tells us, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his feet at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Notice that this Samaritan was glorifying God. Glorifying God, the word that is used, meant that he was glorifying God continuously. As soon as he realized he was healed, he began glorifying God. And he immediately turned around and came back to Jesus. Falling on his face, he worshiped him. He glorified God. The fact that this Samaritan was glorifying God, coupled with the fact that he fell before Jesus' feet, dear ones, is an act of divine homage. This Samaritan, this foreigner, believed that this Jew, this man, the man whom he was face down at his feet, he believed that this man is the Messiah. And as this man was worshiping him, Jesus looked at the others and said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Were there? Where are? Jesus asked 2 negatives. And in asking these 2 negatives, he's expecting an affirmative answer. Jesus knew that there were 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Now the other 9 are Jews. The one who's come back is a Samaritan. Why is this in the text? It's clear to us, dear ones, that the Jews were awaiting their Messiah. The Samaritan went back to worship his Messiah. And you and I know that the Jews are still waiting for their Messiah. Yet the foreigner, the Gentile, that's you and me, we fall at our Messiah's feet. And we worship him. You see the difference? Those who were over religious, the Jews at the time, they were awaiting their Messiah, but their Messiah was in their midst, and they could not recognize him. They were more wrapped up in themselves and awaiting their Messiah and trying to fulfill the law by what they did, rather than listening to His words. And His words were to go and show. And in those words of go and show, they were to be grateful. Now, I'm not saying that the nine Jews were ungrateful, but we see that there was one foreigner who was. And that foreigner came back to worship. He came back to worship, not at the temple, as the other nine did. He came back to worship at the rightful temple. He worshiped at the right and true temple, at the feet of Jesus. Jesus welcomes this foreigner. He welcomes the one who is outcast. He welcomes the one who is hated. He welcomes the one who was persecuted by the Jews. Do you see yourselves in the foreigner? That's why this is in the Bible. It's there to teach us that we too are foreigners. We were Gentiles at one time. We were outcast. We are being persecuted. The world doesn't know us and doesn't understand us and doesn't want to know or understand us. They just want to be away with us. They want us to be forgotten about, and they want to forget about us. Yet we are the foreigners. We understand who our Messiah is, and we come, and we stand before Him, or in the case that we should do, bow our hearts before Him and cry out to Him, Lord, thank You for being my Savior. Lord, thank You for having mercy on me. And that's exactly what your Lord will do for each of you this morning. He announces that He has mercy on each of you. Yes, you were once a foreigner, but now you have been cleansed. You have been made pure by the waters of holy baptism. And today you'll gather before your Messiah. You'll stand here who welcomes you, and He nourishes you. He gives to you body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you have partaken of His goodness and you are grateful, He will say to you, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you, is how some translations have this written. But dear one, I want to warn you, be careful in that. Some people say that my faith will save me. That's not true. Your faith does not save you. Jesus has already saved you here at the cross. What saves you is that faith that believes that Jesus has died for you. It's that faith that clings to the truth that Jesus is your Messiah, that He is the one who gives you life and breath and all good things, that He is the one who will return to take you to His kingdom. And lastly, Jesus gives you an invitation with the words to go. And actually, the word could be properly translated as journey, which is what He said to the Samaritan. Rise and journey. Rise and follow Me. Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men, as He said to His disciples. The context is there. He is to now go His way. The foreigner is to go his or her way. But the way is to follow Jesus. That is the way. For Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There is no other way to the Father. And since this foreigner, since you have great faith, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is your Messiah, that He is the healer of your body and of your soul, and that today He is present to serve you body and blood for the strengthening of your faith, to once again remind you to rise and go, to depart in peace, and follow Me. Follow Me all the way into My kingdom. There is your home. This is the wilderness, and this is the place that we journey through, but the place that you are going as you follow me, is the kingdom. Go. Go and be on your way. Your faith has made you well. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to Jesus indeed. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.